What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, May 11th, 2020, start of a brand new week of utter insanity by the powers that think they are. And we're going to get right on into the news here. Let's see. It's looking more and more like the coronavirus did leak from a Wuhan lab. Of course, if you're a listener of this show, we were talking about that all the way back in, I guess, February, where it just seemed like, yeah, somebody dropped a test tube and it walked out of the lab there. But apparently there's this Australian-China expert, Professor Clive Hamilton, and he said basically the argument that the coronavirus emerged from the wet market just does not stack up. And they've apparently identified a female worker at the Wuhan virology lab, the BSL-4 lab, who appears to be patient zero. So it's basically out there. And yes, China handled it badly. They handled it, well, just like the U.S. government handled the shootdown of TWA-800, the way the U.S. government handled the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the way the U.S. government handled the assassination of Martin Luther King, and so forth and so on. Governments behave this way. You know, governments are generally not forthcoming. The Soviet Union, of course, was a master of that. It wasn't until Chernobyl, where they literally had run out of any other possible explanations, that they finally said, okay, you caught us. We blew up a reactor. Our bad. Sorry about that. But apparently, it turns out now, and this is based partly on cell phone records and corroborated by some other information, but apparently the BSL-4 lab in Wuhan was shut down for 2 weeks in October of last year. So that's another indicator that they had an accident. They knew they had an accident. They were trying to sterilize the place 2 whole weeks out there. Now, apparently, somebody has hacked into the computers at the Wuhan lab and has discovered evidence of unreported COVID-19 cases and found evidence that records were deleted. So, yes, there was a deliberate, intentional cover-up. Bad China, no wonton noodles. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization is trying to clean the egg off of its face here. And apparently, Tanzanian President John Magufuli was growing suspicious. So he played what local press describes as a trick on the organization. He sent the WHO 3 samples for testing. The WHO said they're all positive for COVID-19. The samples were meat from a goat, a papaya, and a pheasant, just little tissue samples. Now, the goat, maybe. The pheasant, maybe. The papaya, I don't think so. And the idea that all 3 came back positive. So this president of Tanzania is out there saying that he doesn't trust the World Health Organization anymore, especially with the allegation that Xi Jinping and the World Health Organization agreed to keep a lid on exactly what the origin of COVID-19 was. All righty, over in Germany, new virus infections accelerate in Germany. The R-naught has risen above 1 for the first time since the lockdown has been lifted. Now, remember, the R-naught is the number of people any one patient is likely to infect. If you have an R-naught lower than 0, then the infection is dying out. The number of new cases will be in decline. An R-naught of exactly 1 means the population of people who are sick will be constant. The same number are getting well as are getting newly infected. Our numbers above 1, of course, mean you've got an infection that's spreading. So they're concerned that, once again, the infection could slip out of control, and they might have to actually backtrack and go back to the lockdowns here. In Berlin, meanwhile, riot police clashed with hundreds of protesters chanting freedom in a demonstration against the coronavirus restrictions. Germany's death toll has risen by 147 to 7,369. Okay. Over in Riverside County, California, they have rescinded the face mask and social distancing order. And the official order that came from the county of Riverside stated in part, with 30 million national unemployment claims filed as of this writing, it is imperative that our residents get back to work. So Trump is caught between a rock and a hard place. you know, more concerned about the people, more concerned about the economy. And no matter which way he goes, somebody somewhere is not going to like it. But that's what happens when you're the president. And he did want the job. So let's get on to the Michael Flynn case. That is actually starting to drive coronavirus off the top of the news programs. In fact, Fox News, when I first turned it on this morning, they were talking about Flynn. They were talking about, you know, Obama's comment about the rule of law and how nobody was charged with perjury was ever just let go in history. Forgetting, of course, that Michael Flynn was never actually charged with perjury, and a member of the Obama administration was and was let go. But that's what Obama's saying. And I can understand his sense of panic, because if this starts to unravel any further, along with the final revelation that there was nothing to Russiagate, it's turning into Obamagate. And that's going to reflect badly, not just on Obama's historical legacy, which I'm sure he's worried about. It's going to reflect badly on all the Democrats in his administration, the party as a whole, and Democrats in general going into November. This is not a good situation. But Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell, is out there saying Flynn was set up. And the setup was orchestrated by top officials in a meeting with Obama. It is now known for a fact that Obama knew what was going on, was in part directing it. And they were having meetings in the White House with then President Barack Obama about what was going on here. So the attorney is claiming Obama was in on the FBI plot to frame Flynn in the Russia probe. Meanwhile, Michael Pence is saying he would welcome the former National Security Advisor back into the Trump administration, which I think is the very least that they can do. Make amends to this man. Fortunately, it is looking like he's not going to need a presidential pardon, that he's going to be exonerated, his security clearance will be restored, and he can go back to work at the Trump White House. And I think that would be a really, really good thing. Another little article coming on out here, Sputnik News, talking about why Obama feared Michael Flynn so much. Was he that good of an advisor? Maybe. Certainly he was opposed to many of Obama's policies and was in a position to undo a lot of Obama's policies under the Trump administration. So, now here's a good piece of information. John Podesta has admitted in testimony under oath that both the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign split the cost for the Christopher Steele dossier that launched the coup attempt. And of course, you know, publicly on the news, they deny they had any knowledge about an arrangement to pay for opposition research on Trump. But of course, under oath, before the House Intelligence Investigators in December 2017, Podesta admitted that, yeah, the DNC and the Hillary campaign split the cost of the Trump-Russia dossier, which now we know was a complete fiction. Ray McGovern's out there with an article, this one is in Blacklisted News, talking about how the twin pillars of Russiagate have crumbled. Now, for 2.5 years, the House Intelligence Committee knew CrowdStrike didn't have the goods on Russia. They didn't. It's all fallen apart. There was no Russian collusion. There was no Russian hacking. You were lied to again. And at some point, you know, I find myself wondering, when do the American people have enough? When have you been lied to enough where you're going to stand up and say, I don't believe anything this government says? I don't believe anything the corporate media says. You're all a bunch of liars, and I'm just not going to listen anymore. I'll figure it out for myself. Thank you very much. So, apparently buried in the documents that were declassified and released last week is confirmation that there was ongoing communication between Seth Rich and WikiLeaks. Seth Rich, if you'll remember, was the computer expert for the Hillary Clinton campaign, who was murdered in what police insist was a botched robbery, because he was found shot near his home, still had his wallet, still had his watch, still had his cell phone, still had some other personal jewelry on him. Yeah, that's a botched robbery. Or it's a hit. think it was a hit. We know from the metadata on the DNC files that surfaced in WikiLeaks, they were not hacked over the internet because the date stamps are too close together. They were copied onto a flash drive at high speed and walked out of the building. We've long suspected it was Seth Rich who was doing it because he was appalled by what he was seeing going on in the campaign. He got the information to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks published it. Seth Rich got assassinated, for lack of a better word, and the leak stopped. So, there was no Russian hacking. There was no Russian collusion. The Russians were not the bad guys here. Actually, there was Russian collusion, but it wasn't with Trump. It was Hillary Clinton, the Uranium One deal. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about how Russia has gotten control of 25% of America's uranium ore, and we don't have it to spare. We're not an exporting nation for uranium. In fact, we have to import uranium, but Russia got 25% control of our national ore stockpile. And at the same time, all kinds of money flew into the Clinton Foundation from Russia, from Russian sources. And nobody talks about that. That sounds like collusion to me. Apparently, the assistant housing secretary has released threatening text messages from Democratic Representative Eric Swalwell, which come across as threatening. Now, Michael Caputo has released these text messages from the virulently anti-Trump lawmaker from California, Representative Eric Swalwell. The text messages appear to prove that Swalwell, who spent the last 3.5 years calling for Trump's impeachment, has committed witness tampering. Because when you threaten a witness, that's tampering. It really is. This whole thing just gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And we can count on the corporate media to turn a blind eye. Oh, let's go talk about the black guy who got gunned down by the white vigilantes. That's news. Uranium Gate? No, that's not news. Obamagate? No, that's not news. People don't need to hear that stuff. You know, we've got a dead black guy over here. That's what you should pay attention to, according to the corporate media here. Speaking of the corporate media, apparently over on Meet the Press on NBC, there was a video of an interview with Attorney General William Barr. And it was edited in a way that made it sound like his decision to drop charges against Michael Flynn was purely political. And it turns out it's another case of deceptive editing. And on Fox News this morning, they played the version that was aired on Meet the Press. Then they played the complete unedited segment and made it very clear that things were said by Bob Barr that were far more important that should have been in there. Now, NBC's already come on out and said, look, we only had so much time to fill, and it was completely accidental that it came out the way that it did, and we didn't mean to deceive our audience. You can trust us. You know, we're NBC, and we've got the Peacock to prove it. So Donald Trump is urging NBC to fire Chuck Todd after the Meet the Press deceptive editing. And have you noticed, even as Russiagate falls apart, even as it crumbles to dust, even as it melts like the Wicked Witch of the West after getting doused with a bucket full of truth, they're already back out there saying, Russia's going to interfere in the 2020 election. They're going to do it. You just watch those evil Russians. They're coming to mess in our elections here again. So cyber experts from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, who I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw them, and the FBI, same notation, have warned about the possibility of Russia's interfering in the 2020 presidential elections, according to a February memo obtained by Associated Press. International observers have explained what is behind the resurfaced Russia is at it again. So they're out there getting ready to, however the election turns on out, oh, Russia was interfering. Russia was interfering. They can't even make up their mind who Russia was trying to help in 2016. At first they said he was trying to help Trump. Then it came on out they were actually helping Hillary. Now, as you know, we're coming into convention season. The primaries are over. We're coming into convention season. And apparently the GOP convention is going to be held in North Carolina. Well, as it turns out, North Carolina's Governor Roy Cooper, who's up for re-election this fall, has the authority to shut down the GOP convention because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, we all know Trump is going to get nominated as the Republican candidate for president of the United States of America. So it's not like they need a convention, but the Democrats are trying to find any way they can limit Trump's visual presentation on TV. They're getting ready to have a really spectacular convention, which may have some surprises in there. But if they can figure out a way where Trump's convention and even his large rallies, you know, he'll fill a sports venue of 25,000 people, they're trying to stop those too, because it sends an image that Trump is very popular. That worked for him in 2016, where he was filling these sports venues and Hillary couldn't even fill a bicycle shop. And the corporate media is out there saying Hillary will win in a landslide. She lost in a landslide. Now, needless to say, Governor Roy Cooper is a Democrat. So we'll see what happens there. Personally, if I were on Trump's team right now, I'd be working on a plan B, a second convention site in a GOP-friendly state. All right, let's turn to the international news now. Over in northwest Syria, clashes reportedly killed dozens in the biggest toll since the March truce. An attack by militant rebel forces in northwest Syria sparked clashes that left 48 people dead. Fighting has ground to a standstill, or had ground to a standstill following the March 6 truce in Idlib. Turkey is going to deem Libyan National Army forces legitimate targets if attacks against its interests continue. So Turkey is over there with the Libyan National Army downed two Turkish unmanned aerial vehicles as they attempt to attack its Al-Watiya military air base in the southeastern part of Tripoli. The Turkish Foreign Ministry has stated that Ankara will deem military commander Khalifa Haftar's forces legitimate targets if attacks against its interests and diplomatic missions continues. So let me see if I have this straight. Okay, there were two Turkish unmanned aerial vehicles that were attempting to attack a military airbase and they got shot down. And Turkey is saying, you can't do that. It's against the rules we just made up here. Let me see a full-on war happening there. Everybody's spoiling for a war. You know, the economy's shot. We can't fix it. Let's start a war. That'll take everybody's mind off of it. A massive bombardment has hit Tripoli. The water supplies are threatened. Apparently, Haftar fought overnight for new territory in the southern suburbs after losing ground recently around the city. Now, this next story, probably going to laugh about a little bit. The Iranian Navy was having an exercise, and one of their own warships shot another one of their warships, a corvette, with a missile, killing 19 and leaving 15 injured. And everybody's out there saying, oh, those gosh darn Iranians. And, pardon me, the Jamaran, or frigate, had been attempting to hit a target with one of its newer cruise missiles, but it accidentally struck a support ship named Konarak instead. Well, apparently, the missiles that Iran has do work, and they can cause damage, something that I hope those who are considering an attack on Iran will keep in mind here. Iran, meanwhile, has stated they are ready to swap prisoners with the U.S. without any preconditions. That would be a good thing. It would diffuse a lot of tensions were that to happen. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has ordered their staff out of Houthi-held areas of Yemen. Things are just getting a little bit tense over there. Claiming credible threats and perceived risks, WHO announced over the weekend, they're pulling out of parts of northern Yemen under the control of the Houthi movement. This comes over mounting concerns about coronavirus picking up pace in Yemen. Meanwhile, U.S. support for Israel's annexation plan will spell war in the Mideast. Mark Dankoff, a journalist and former U.S. Senate candidate, made the remarks in a phone interview with Press TV on Friday. We've got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these few words.
Thank you. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay, unemployment getting.
Welcome back to our show here, and the reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network is in a perpetual fundraiser because we need your help to keep on doing what we're doing, which is speaking truth to power and sorting out all the confusing lies and deceptions that we are all buried in right now. So the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you. Getting on back to the news here, Israel has attempted to block an attempt to relax international sanctions on Tehran over humanitarian concerns in recent months, mostly about combating the coronavirus. Iran has become the Middle East epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. So Israeli outlet Haaretz yesterday cited unnamed Israeli diplomats saying the Jewish state tried to exert pressure on international institutions against the easing of sanctions on Iran as a humanitarian gesture, even as the Islamic Republic struggled to contain a sweeping outbreak. Which sounds about usual for Israel. Beijing is intensifying its military presence in the South China Sea in light of growing U.S. activities in the region. China still has major interest in the disputed waters of the South China Sea. Yes, I can imagine we have something. The South China Sea is disputed. Okay, the Gulf of Mexico is disputed. The Gulf of Baja is disputed. Really? I think if you look at the name, South China Sea, and remember, that whole area was recognized as Chinese territory at the end of World War II with what was called the Cairo Convention. Now you have all these other countries in the area saying, well, you know, we've changed our mind. We want those islands. We want the oil. We want the military advantage. And the U.S., which signed the Cairo Convention, I might add, is siding with the other countries and saying, you Chinese, you get out of the South China Sea. It's not yours. It belongs to our friends. Now, of course, the excuse there is upholding freedom of navigation in the region. Well, doesn't that apply to both sides? Are not the Chinese free to navigate in that part of the world? Just something to think about. All right, we're still seeing the aftermath of that horribly botched attempt to kidnap Venezuela's President Maduro, put him on an airplane for the United States. And apparently the contract for this operation has come on out. Guaido is definitely involved in all of this. And the contract was worth a total of $213 million. And the contract was made with the private military company Silver Corps USA, which is run by that former Green Beret. And apparently the document was provided by the Venezuelan opposition itself on a condition that one of the attachments be redacted. And that's what they literally had a contract. Say, for $213 million paid thus and such, we will capture, detain, remove Nicolas Maduro. Here. So some of the highlights in the contract are cancellation of the contractor of a non-refundable advance for $1,500,000, which had to be paid during the first 5 days from the signing of the contract. The initial 45-day phase of the operation with a value of $50 million, which includes operational costs, both for the group of allies and Silver Corps personnel, vehicles, transportation, and fuel. The total estimated cost of the project, $212,900,000 for 495 days because the occupation force would have to remain in the country. All very businesslike. All very formal. Yes, for so much money, we will steal a country for you. Right out of Quantum of Solace. All right, U.S. Navy sends ships to confront China and warns China against bullying. I hesitate to see how China's warships in the South China Sea represent bullying. I mean, it's easy to see how American warships in the South China Sea would be seen as bullying, but not the Chinese. China's building up the area. They're enlarging those islands. They're putting in airfields. They're putting in oil infrastructure. But once again, the U.S. Navy is sending ships into the South China Sea deliberately to confront China, and Commander Admiral John Aquilino says the U.S. insists the Chinese Communist Party must end its pattern of bullying. Wow. I mean, talk about arrogance. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Look at the history of the United States over the past close to two decades now. Who is bullying who? All right, let's talk about the economic news. Actually, we're coming up on another commercial break. When we come on back, we'll be talking about the economic news and a few other little bits and pieces as well. So stay tuned. We'll be back after these words from our sponsor.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to talk about the economic news here a little bit. And there's a former J.P. Morgan economist who's out there saying that we've been blowing a whole new bubble of the economy ever since 2009, and that we're heading toward a Weimar Republic inflation setup. And it does seem like that's the way that we're going. They're trying to inflate the debt away. They're trying to inflate the economic harm from the coronavirus. They're trying to inflate that away. And, you know, I'm not opposed to that latter part. Americans are hurting. They're hurting very, very badly right now, and they need all the help they can get. But let's be honest. The economy was already in trouble long before the coronavirus came along. You have this ultra-loose monetary policy coupled with deflationary pressures from increased aggregate supply, investors chasing yield at ever higher risk, and it meant that almost all asset classes had reached all-time high just before entering the current bear market. There is a massive bubble. There is no doubt. And readers will have anticipated it didn't have to be a global pandemic to burst this bubble. Bubble was looking for a prick, any prick, to burst it. And now we're into it. So anyway, up in San Francisco's Tenderloin District, Homeless tents have increased by 300% since the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. The streets are unsanitary, unsafe, often impassable. But again, before the coronavirus, we had homeless all over this country. And you can't tell me that we've got a good economy when there are that many homeless people, that many people out of work. Meanwhile, of course, the borders are open and illegal immigrants are coming on in to chase after the few jobs that are available in competition with legal American citizens. And I think that's wrong. I think that's absolutely wrong. Apple has decided to move a fifth of iPhone production from China to India. The massive supply chain shift. China's going to pay a price for the COVID-19. It may not be official. It may not be in the court. But you've got Japan is pulling their manufacturing out. Now Apple is moving a fifth of iPhone production from China to India. And to further complicate things, Trump and semiconductors companies, including Intel, are seeking to kickstart new chip plants right here in the good old United States of America. That's another area in which China enjoyed a tremendous amount of success. So China's economy is under attack. And, of course, this serves U.S. interests quite a bit because the United States didn't want to have to compete with a healthy China economy. So now China's economy is being made unhealthy. The truck driver apocalypse is here. More jobs were lost in April than in the entire 2008 financial crisis. 30 million plus. We probably have people who lost their jobs who were not able to get in to the unemployment offices. The lines were always busy. The doors were always closed because of COVID-19. Phones weren't being answered. It would actually be a lot worse than 30 million. All right, so let's talk about Ahmaud Arbery. Now, he is the black gentleman. His family says he was just out for a jog, and he was shot and killed by two white guys. And, of course, immediately this became the star story in corporate media. Oh, we've got a poor, dead black guy, and he was just gunned down by these white supremacists, and they're going to town on it. And the Atlanta mayor is calling it a lynching. He's bringing up references to Jim Crow era South. And they're blaming Trump. They're saying Trump's rhetoric basically gave racists permission to do it in an overt way. Well, maybe, maybe not. Anyway, there's this Georgia man, 20 years old, he set up a fake Facebook page in support of Ahmaud Arbery's two killers and threatening protesters who paid their respects at the spot where the 25-year-old jogger was killed. Turns out the man who set up this Facebook page is black, and he was putting deliberately provocative messages in there to make anybody supporting the two shooters look bad. Game there. And here's where it gets really interesting, because security video shows Ahmaud Arbery inside an under-construction home on the same street where he was killed. Now, the home is under construction. It's just the raw lumber, and he just walks on in. Now, it's not his home, but he walks into the construction site, and he looks around, and then he left empty-handed. Now, his family is saying this proves he was not a burglar, that he went into this one property and left without taking anything with him. Well, construction site, there's really not that much to take. Apparently, another video has now surfaced showing Ahmaud Arbery going into somebody's home, trespassing, which the owner says was robbed of $2,500 worth of fishing gear earlier this year. Then a neighbor spotted him in the house, called 911, and at that point he took off and ran down the street, and that's when he ran into the two white guys. So this story is getting very, very murky. They're really starting to dig at it, and it's looking like Ahmaud Arbery was not just a common everyday jogger. He wasn't shot just for being black while running. We've got two different videos showing effectively illegal behavior. Because even though he didn't actually take anything from the construction site, he still was not supposed to be there. And he did trespass into a home. Was spotted by somebody who called 911. Now, we need to be very, very careful about revenge especially if we don't really know what happened. But apparently, there was a 80-year-old couple were in a Delaware cemetery, and they were basically visiting their son's grave at a veteran's cemetery, and they were shot as a black male with a sniper's rifle. And as near as they can figure out, it's a racial revenge shooting motivated by the Ahmaud Arbery incident. So this white couple was murdered by this black guy. It's not getting the coverage on the corporate media that it deserves. Facebook is at it again. They're starting to remove news outlets from... There we go. I had the wrong handle. Facebook removes news outlets in latest Orwellian purge. Over the past 3 years, Facebook has been removing accounts for participating in what they call coordinated inauthentic behavior, which is a fancy word for saying all of these people are saying the government is wrong about, well, like the Boston bombing. And therefore, it's coordinated and it's inauthentic behavior because it doesn't support the mainstream view. Well, maybe they're all in agreement that the government did something wrong because the government did something wrong. In any event, in the latest purge, Facebook has removed accounts from two news outlets, Southfront and Newsfront. Somebody needs to bring back the Cherry Sisters lawsuit and remind everybody that the First Amendment does apply to non-governmental entities. Anyway, Google is trying to establish a monopoly on speech. Remember their Google motto and code of conduct for 15 years was don't be evil. Then in 2015, they changed it to do the right thing. Today, Google, which owns YouTube, seems to have altered its motto to be evil and do the wrong thing, including censoring free speech of doctors, scientists, professors, politicians, and journalists who ideas differ from those of the Google executives. Well, Google's a large company. It's a modern success story. But being an executive at Google does not qualify you as an expert in fields like medicine, physics, astronomy, chemistry, so forth. So Google CEO Eric Schmidt said this is the next step in the evolution of the internet, referring to Google's purchase of YouTube for $1.65 billion in 2006. We now know Schmidt's definition of progress centers around inducing users to think like him by using YouTube to push dissenting views and censor differing perspectives under the guise of legality or neutrality. And they're anything but neutral over there. And as far as the legality is concerned, there has to be something in these tens of thousands of books of law that have evolved over the last 270 years. There's got to be something in there that says, yeah, the First Amendment is an absolute. The right to freedom of speech is an absolute. It's not just reserved for free speech zones. It's not just reserved for when you're standing on the steps of a public building. It has to be everywhere or it's completely worthless. CNN just called one American news network, quote, more state-run propaganda network than a credible news organization, end quote. Now, CNN botched the death of Kim Jong-un. They covered up for Chris Cuomo after he broke quarantine. They published lies about Elon Musk, and that's just in the last month. They also told you Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, that Assad was gassing his own people, that the Sarnia brothers blew up the Boston Marathon, and so forth and so on. And now it's here to tell you which news networks are credible. And getting out my little crystal ball, I can look into it and see. CNN says that CNN is credible and everybody else is not. This week, Vanity Fair kicked up a flurry of controversy when citing those pesky anonymous sources. It claimed Donald Trump Jr. secretly bought a stake in the right-leaning One America News Network. The owner of the network, Charles Herring, quickly jumped in to quash the claims and denied any such deal had gone through, as well as demanding that a retraction be made. The corporate media isn't learning from its declining audiences and declining revenues. They're out there. In fact, I would say they've gone the other way. They're panicking. they're beginning to understand they have lost the war for the control of the American mind. And they're trying to figure out how can they get it back without running into that pesky First Amendment. All right, over this last weekend, we had a polar vortex that unleashed a rare May snow in New York, shatters historic low temperature records. We had a freeze warning right here in Indiana. And of course, farmers are now concerned about the early crops that were just starting to come in. Did they freeze? Did they get damaged? So there were freeze watches, warnings, along with frost advisories in effect Friday night in parts of the Midwest, down to the Southeast and into the Northeast. Cities like Atlanta ended up being colder than parts of Alaska on Saturday morning. Gee whiz, where's all that human-caused global warming that we were being told about? Just seems like, you know, it must be hidden in a closet somewhere or hiding at the bottom of the ocean. Remember when they tried to sell us that one? So, and it's still unusually cool here in Indiana, which is odd. We had a really mild winter, according to the locals, and I thought, well, we'll probably have a hot, sweltering summer, but so far, not there. All right, something I have been warning about happening has happened. Apparently, a Russian rocket disintegrated in Earth's orbit, leaving behind at least 65 pieces of dangerous space debris that could conceivably impact and damage other satellites. They, in turn, would break into pieces and have more debris floating around that could damage yet other satellites. It could start a whole cascade and turn near-Earth orbit into a shrapnel field. It would take 100, 200 years for it to clean out under natural forces. And this is why I'm so opposed to this race for, you know, the Space Force and weaponry in space. You could literally encase the planet Earth in a shell of orbiting debris that makes space exploration, not to mention commercialization, impossible for the foreseeable future. Oh, anyway. Over in Rome, early today, as the city tries to adjust to life following the coronavirus lockdown, they actually had an earthquake, magnitude of 3.3. That's minor for those of us who lived in Southern California. And it struck at 5:03 a.m. with an epicenter in Font Nuova, a small town about 10 miles outside the capital. Town's rocking and rolling. Okay. A Dutch researcher has detailed 9 attack scenarios that work with all computers with Thunderbolt, shipped since 2011, which allow an attacker with physical access to the machine to quickly steal data from encrypted drives and memory. Researcher Bjorn Reutenberg detailed the so-called Thunder Spy attacks in a report published yesterday, warning the attacks work even when users follow best security practice, such as locking an unattended computer, setting up secure boot, using strong BIOS and operating system account passwords, and enabling full disk encryption. So this one is really very, very nasty. Okay, over at Government Slaves Now, they're running an article that the polls showing Joe Biden in the lead over Donald Trump are about as accurate as the polls back in 2016 that were showing Hillary Clinton in a landslide victory over Donald Trump. So the polling companies haven't learned anything from their past embarrassments. And apparently Biden had another hoof and mouth moment when he was being interviewed about Tara Reid. Okay. Retail investors are pumping the market, and why we may be nearing the top of the bounce scene at the end of March. I mean, everybody's looking at the stock market, and it didn't do too well today, kind of fizzled at the end there. It started low and worked its way back up to the green. But it's overvalued, and everybody knows it's overvalued. And at some point, something's going to happen where it's going to start plunging, and all the little safety locks that they have are not going to stop it, because the value of the stocks is disconnected from the underlying worth. I think the current average PE is running something like 24. And in a healthy market, it's usually closer to 16. From all this rigging that's been going on, the plunge protection team, whatever you want to call it, they're gaming the system because the system has broken down. Because the system was never designed to perpetuate. private central banking cannot be made to run forever. Sooner or later, that accumulated debt rips it all apart. And I think we're there. And I think that other analyst is correct. We're on the verge of Weimar-style inflation, needing entire carts of paper notes just to buy a loaf of bread. At least it'll end the toilet paper shortages, right? Okay, we're going to take another break here for commercials here before the last segment of this hour, starting at the top of the hour. We will be taking phone calls, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here. A couple of stories to get us to the top of the hour. We were talking before about CrowdStrike. Now, CrowdStrike was the company that was hired by the Hillary Clinton campaign to manage their servers and security. And we were told that CrowdStrike found evidence of Russian hacking for the DNC emails. Well, CrowdStrike has now gone public saying that no, they didn't. There was no evidence Russia stole emails from the DNC server. Of course, we already knew that because of the metadata. Now, of course, we've got confirmation that Seth Rich, who was gunned down near his own home. And by the way, somebody reminded me in an email, he was still alive when they got him to the hospital. So not just a botched robbery, but a botched assassination. Somehow he died in the hospital. Put him down as a COVID-19 death, I guess. So CrowdStrike is out there saying, no, we did not see any evidence whatsoever, which is a little overdue, because if you'll remember, when CrowdStrike first supposedly came out and said, yes, we found evidence of Russian hacking, and they described their methodology, other computer security firms looked at it and said, no, this wouldn't work. This absolutely would not work. The case is not made. Truth finally caught up with them. There was no Russian hacking. And again, you have been lied to all this time. The U.S. government controls you by lying to you, by giving your brain only that information that will lead you to decide of your own free will what the government wants you to decide. I'll give you an example. Babysitter and a small child. The babysitter tells the child, you can go to bed at 8 o'clock or you can go to bed at 9 o'clock. Which do you want? And the kid says, well, I want to go to bed at 9 o'clock. The babysitter says, okay. The real goal, of course, is to have the kid asleep by 10 o'clock when the babysitter's boyfriend comes over. That's how propaganda works. Kid thinks he's got a choice. He doesn't really. He's been tricked into thinking he's got a choice. He's been lied to. You've been lied to about Uranium Gate, Obama Gate, Russia Gate. Time to start getting angry. Because when the government lies to you, they do not respect you as a human being. They do not respect you as a citizen. They're treating you like you are that child. Their goal is to get you into bed and sleep so you're out of their way. Anyway, before on the show, we were talking about what the real unemployment may be because of all those people who couldn't get through to the unemployment offices. And over at Investment Watch blog, they have an article that the real unemployment rate is probably about 35%, which is worse than the Great Depression of the 1930s. So you think about that one for a while. Are these jobs going to come back soon? We certainly hope so. But it takes a while to build a functioning economy. There's a tremendous amount of inertia there. And now all of a sudden we're dealing with people who have realized they get more money staying at home on unemployment than they do going back to their jobs. Okay, there's the music. We're going to take a break for station identification. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443, and we will be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.